Ready to... Reading to you from the 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and with the first verse. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 38 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. My friends, it looks to me like, if my figures are correct, we're starting on our 20th year on KPUF. If my figures are correct, they may not be accurate, but I think they are. But anyway, it's been a wonderful 20 years or 19, whatever it's been. But I never dreamed that I would really like radio. But once you get into it, you can't help it. It's just something that you love. Well, I tell you, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers and sit back and relax? And let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Kind Heavenly Father, in Jesus' precious holy name, I thank you so much, Lord, for all these years that we've had in KPUF. And I thank you, Lord, for every wonderful opportunity that you've afforded me over the years to travel the countryside and preach for Jesus. Lord, I'm so grateful for all of many, many precious souls that has given their hearts to Christ. And Lord, this very day, I pray for every one of those who are alive today that I've introduced to Christ, that you'll be with them today in a very special way. You know their needs. You know their discouragements or heartaches. Then, Lord, I pray for all of my faithful radio listener and family. And Lord, we have many, many of them, the many faithful prayer warriors that we have. How grateful we are for them, Lord. They don't know that I can feel the very presence of their prayers as we travel throughout the country preaching. And how everybody who preaches needs prayers, and every Sunday school teacher and every pastor needs prayer, because the job that we do is not easy, but it's rewarding, and I wouldn't trade with anybody in the world. Now, Lord, lift up Christ, honor your word, hide me behind the cross. Help me to preach with power and authority and love and compassion. And I'll be so careful, Lord, to give you the praise, the glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, folks, the Bible is full of people who have had problems And here we consider three of these living characters of the Bible who are united by a common fact. Each one of those people had a problem. As we look at these men, we'll consider the problem, the way in which it was solved, and the significance of the solution. You and I have problems. Everybody has problems. But we need to realize that God is still on his throne. Now, you see, that's trite, Cecil. I hear that every day. But I still have problems. Well, of course you're going to have problems. And if you're a Christian, as long as you're on this earth, you and I are going to have problems. But if we didn't have problems, as the songwriter said, we wouldn't know that he can solve them. See, what the problem is, we try to figure it out, everything out ourselves, and it doesn't work that way. God wants us to trust him and to believe him and to follow him. And the reason so many people are leaving their first love is because they've got discouraged. Satan has told them there's no use to worry. They just can't do anything right. Well, that's a lie. He's always been a liar, and he always will be a liar. The demoniac, we find in the 18th chapter, the 5th chapter, Mark, in the 18th verse. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, but Jesus did not let him go. Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Now, friends, I'm going to use something here today. Personally, the first thing that happened to me after I gave my heart to Christ, the very first thing that happened to me was that I wanted to tell my children and my wife. I wanted to tell my family, my brothers and my sister, and all my loved ones what had happened to me. Well, this fellow that had the first problem, he was, first of all, possessed with demons, hundreds of them. He was at a deplorable condition, and according to the scriptures, he was utterly beside himself. He was without hope. You know, you see alcoholics or drug addicts, and you'll say, well, there's no hope for him. There's just no hope for that guy. Well, that's a lie. If you'd have seen me 1 hour or 2 hours before I accepted Christ, you would have said the very same thing about me. There is no hope. Because I had been drunk for 30 days. I was out of my mind. I was out of control. I had nowhere to turn. I didn't know what to do. I'm losing everything. I've already lost everything I had materially. But now I'm losing my family. And that was the final blow. I couldn't handle that. Well, a lot of people, they say, you have to go to the bottom before you can get up. Well, I would rather have people find the Lord before they go to the bottom, but I went to the bottom. And when this preacher told me that, first of all, that God loved me, I could not believe that. I literally could not believe that God could love anybody like me. This demoniac did not believe that anybody could love him. Here they chained him, and he'd break the chains, and you know, people who have mental problems are tremendously strong. Well, this guy was. But when Jesus faced him and cast out the demon, immediately, absolutely immediately, this guy became in his right mind because he came to Christ. Even in his awful state, he realized who Christ was, and his cure was that Christ cast out the demon. The man was cleansed and restored to society. Oh, I know how that demoniac felt. You know, booze, whiskey, gin, all of it is full of demons. It really is. My wife and I, years ago, we knew a young boy that used to race cars up in North Dakota. And every Friday night, all of us would go out and watch this young man race. He was about the best thing I'd ever seen. Well, one night there was about five Air Force young men, oh, I'd say in their early 20s. They were sitting behind me and my wife, and they had a ice pack full of beer. And they started drinking. And it wasn't an hour after the race started, they were cursing and using filthy language. And so my wife and I, we had to get up and move. Now, here was the nicest five young boys that you ever met. But when that booze got into them, it turned them into devils. Don't let anyone kid you. Alcohol is a curse. I heard on television when one of the Corps boys that was saved, he was on Paul Kraut's program in California TV, and both of them assured the listeners that drinking was not a sin, because they said if drinking was a sin, Jesus himself was a sinner because he drank at the wedding. I didn't see in there where he drank at the wedding feast, but it wasn't the rotten swill that people are drinking today in Skid Row, I'll assure you. But can you imagine two men who claim to be Christians who make a statement like that? Look what a signal that sends out to young people who heard on television, on a Christian station, supposedly, that drinking was not a sin. Well, I'm here to tell you, my dear friends, they're crazier than a bedbug, because drinking is a sin. Drinking will destroy you. Nobody knows when they're going to cross that line. Do you think when I was 17 years old, when I started drinking in the Navy out of sorrow, that I would have done that if I'd have known where it was going to take me? Do you think these kids out there taking crack, they hear about it, but they don't believe it could ever happen to them? No, it couldn't. Well, it can. So don't take that first drink of booze. Don't take that first fix. Don't take that first crack. Don't do it. Because if you do, you'll end up just like this demoniac. Only you might not be fortunate enough to meet Jesus. You might go straight to a devil's hell. In John 3, there was a man, a good man. His name was Nicodemus. He was just, and the man was honest. It's pretty hard to find an honest person today. Go down and get your car fixed. Get someone to paint your house. Get someone to roof your house. And find out there's not an awful lot of honest people in this world. How about these pharmaceutical companies that are charging exorbitant prices for medicine for those who are to have AIDS? Our blood pressure pills for us people who have blood pressure is high. And the President Clinton the other day said that he was tired of the pharmaceutical companies who are ripping off Americans, and Americans are dying because they can't afford medication. Well, I tell you, friends, there ought to be a law against that, but it's happening every day. This man was sufficiently good enough to be a ruler of the Jews. The man was no idiot. He was a smart man. And his case history was that he came to Jesus under the cover of darkness. Now, I don't know if it was because he didn't want to be seen. I don't know the scenario behind that. But all I know that he did come to Jesus. And I'm assuming, and I could be wrong, but I'm assuming that Nicodemus had heard the testimonies of many people. And he thought, boy, these people's lives are changed. These people who were tax collectors, all of a sudden they left their tax debts and are following Jesus. These fishermen are following Jesus. There must be something to it. So he goes to Jesus and he asks the question of any honest seeker. He said, no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Well, then the Lord, looking right into the heart of good old Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, are you really a ruler of the Jews, and you don't even know this simple truth? Well, that would probably humble a person. And you know, friends, when you're praying to the Lord, did you know that he knows every thought that's in your heart? Supposing you're asking for a job to make more money. Now, Jesus knows what you're going to do with that money. There are lots and lots and lots and hundreds, yea, thousands, yea, millions of Christians who have a curse of God on them because they rob from God daily. Now you say, Cecil, what do you mean? I mean just what I said. The Bible said that we are to give a tenth of all that we have and even more. Well, very few Christians tithe anymore because there are those preachers who get up and say, it's not scriptural. Well, if you've never tried it for a period of time, you won't know the truth. I've been doing it for years. I know it works. And I give a lot more than my 10%. These books and these films and these radio things that I put out, they cost a lot more than people think they do. Every time I send a book or two books and a video, that costs me $20 plus shipping. Now, and I send out, I don't know how many hundreds I've sent out over the years. Well, God knows that, and God will reward me for it. And you don't work for rewards, but he will. Well, when Jesus and him had that conversation, Christ showed him the way of eternal life. So many people today do not know the way of eternal life. And it appears that Nicodemus accepted and became a loyal follower of Jesus Christ. Nobody in the right man could sit down and read this Bible with an open heart and an open mind, even though you're lost in sin, who cannot find Christ as Savior. John Lenny Olson, Airmail from God, they take thousands and thousands of Gospels of John printed in Mexican, and they take airplanes and they fly over these back jungles way out in Mexico. And they have received many, many, many letters from men and women who have taken these little Gospels of John and sat down on a stump and read them, bowed their head, and gave their heart to Christ. I can tell you one that happened to me. His name was Carlos, and he was from Hong Kong, and he worked for me when I was going to Bible college in Riverside, California. And he was a graduate from the University of Hong Kong. And I told him, I said, you know, you Chinese people are very brilliant, which they are. Believe me, they are. And a lot of them got photographic memories. I said, I want you to go sit down underneath that old shade tree over there, and I want you to look up at the third chapter of the Gospel of John, and I want you to read about Nicodemus. He said, okay, all right. And I watched him as he was reading the book of the third chapter of John, and I could see his brow furring. And he came over, and I said, well, what'd you come up with? He said, I don't understand it. Well, I said, now, don't feel too badly, because I said Nicodemus was a religious man, and he couldn't understand it either. I said, I was not a religious man the morning that I went to this preacher in Seattle, Washington. I was not a religious man. However, as the preacher read from the Word of God about Nicodemus and John 3:16, it became crystal clear to me that there was something wrong in my life. I knew there was something wrong in my life because I was a no good drunk. So I had no problem with that. The only problem I had was, is there a solution to my problem? And the thing that Tom told me that stuck with me all these years, he said, Cecil, God does not love your sins, but he loves you, a sinner, tonight. You might be a religious person. You might be a churchgoer. You might be everything that the Bible speaks about, but you're still lost in your sin. You know all the facts about Christ. You know that he died on Calvary for you. You know that they buried him in a tomb. They crucified him and buried him in a tomb. He ascended into heaven. You know all those facts. But you don't know him in a personal way. By that I mean you have not invited him to forgive your sins and to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. Then you're just like Nicodemus was. Smart as a whip, but dumb to the things of God. Well, we have another man. And we find a story of him in the ninth chapter of Acts. Let's turn over there to the ninth chapter of Acts. And it says his name was Saul of Tarsus. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if found anyone who belonged to the way, whether man or woman, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus." We're at a lost place. And I am Jesus. Anyway, here's what happened. Saul, the mean religionist, and oh, friends, there's so many religionists in the world who don't know Jesus. When he realized that he had come in contact with Jesus, he gave him his heart. And I see, he was zealous, Saul was, for the things of God, and he was a religionist of religion. But Christ spoke to him in a very special way, and Saul showed a receptive heart. Friends, you know that's what the Lord wants to see, a receptive heart. Someone who's willing to humble himself, become as a little child, and say, "Lord, I realize that I can't do anything anymore. I need you in my heart and in my life." When you're willing to do that, then you're going to find peace like you've never found before. The Bible said we need to repent of our sins. Now, we don't see that much in churches. We don't hear that word too much. We don't even hear the word revival much anymore. But God is still trying to revive his people. Now we have series of meetings. We have everything but revival. We don't even like to use the word revival. Personally, I do. But Christ divinely filled his vision, and he became one of God's mighty, mighty preachers. I tell you, he went through a lot. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. That man had one problem right after another. Now, you see, when he was doing all these things, when he was lost, he thought he was doing God a favor by going out and persecuting Christians. And yet there's people today who think by going into a church and splitting a church, they're doing God a service. Now, sometimes church splits are of the Lord, and God had to separate the wheat from the tares. But to go out deliberately to hurt someone or deliberately go in and try to destroy a church or a preacher who's serving the Lord, people are going to pay for that in a terrible way. Well, the first man was truly down and out. He didn't realize his need until he came in contact with Christ. But once he did, he was helped in spite of his condition. Again, here was a hopeless case of a demoniac. No hope of that man ever living a normal life. Can you imagine how his parents must have felt? And I tell you, being a parent and having children who's been disobedient is a terrible thought. A lot of parents today almost are ready to give up and throw the towel in because their kids are living in sin. They're shacking up. They're doing drugs. They're doing alcohol. And they don't know what to do. Well, I'll tell you what I would do if I were you. Keep praying, and don't you give up. You keep praying for him. The second man had something lacking in his life, and contact with Christ brought it out. He came to Christ, trying him to find the answer. And he found it in him, a reality of life. Oh, Nicodemus, what a man. But when he found what he wanted, he was sure happy. When you find Christ, you'll find the answer. Boy, there is an answer, Christ. The third man, a lifelong, get this, church member, thought he really had it. When he came to Christ, however, he discovered that he had never found Christianity, true Christianity. The other day, a man asked me, he said, well, what about this guy that was down there in Waco? I said, that had nothing to do with Christianity. Not one thing to do with Christianity. When the man said, I am Christ, he automatically put himself in the road to a devil's hell. There was only one Jesus, and that's all he'll ever be. He warned people that there'd be people coming after him, saying it was him. Well, each of these three men had a problem. Each got to the right place, and each had it solved in Jesus. Whatever your problem is, Christ has the answer to the need of your soul. And I ask you, what is your need tonight? What is your need tonight? You say, well, Cecil, I guess my greatest need is I haven't ever accepted Christ. Well, you can settle that tonight. There's no problem about that. You can settle that tonight, and in a few minutes I'll help you pray the sinner's prayer. But, oh, beloved, don't you dare pray that prayer if you don't mean it. If you don't mean that prayer, don't you dare pray it. But if you do, and you're sorry for your sins, and the Holy Spirit of God is tugging at your heart, I suggest that you say yes to Jesus. Yes. Well, you say, Cecil, I want to do that tonight. I really want to do that tonight, okay? You're a sinner. I am a sinner. The Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus holds his arms outstretched, and he says, he that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. If you come to him and pray this simple prayer, dear Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I'm turning my back on the old way of life. And Lord, I pray that you'll come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior forever. And I'll live for you till the end of time. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that simple prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 840-2992. This is not a long-distance phone call. If you live in Denver or you live in all the Denver area, this is not a long distance. We live in Parker. 840-2992. I want to talk to you. I want to help you spiritually if I can. Now, if you just want to call and put down your preacher or put down your denomination or you got a chip on the shoulder, I don't have time for that. But if you truly have a spiritual need and you want to talk to someone, I'll be your friend. But more than that, Jesus could be your friend and your Lord and your Savior. Tell him all the things that you tell me, because he knows, but he wants to hear it from your lips. Well, dear friends, be sure and call me if you feel a spiritual need. You call me at 840-2992. And if the line, I have a special thing on my phone, so someone's calling in, I can intercept your call. God bless you, and God help you to make the right decision for Jesus tonight.